To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the
I think Paul has a little bit of honor to share. Do you have a son who graduated this weekend? How about that? They didn't have many helicopters. They didn't have many helicopters when I was in, but they had a lot of the Hueys. I used to jump out of the Hueys, jumped out of several of the Air Force planes, and I had an Air Force guy ask me one time, why you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? I said, why you stay in the crazy thing? I got a perfect parachute to get out and land. I remember one time down at Fort Campbell, this is when we started. I had the honor of teaching free fall. Static line is when you first hook up in the plane and jump out low altitudes, really more dangerous. But free fall, you jump a little higher and you have the handle. Nobody's going to bother that. Nothing hooked up in the plane to open you up. You got to open it yourself. So we were down at Fort Campbell in an old H-21, long banana looking at helicopter. And the crew chief come back, said, everybody out. We've got a plane in trouble, blah, 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 blah. Well, all the guys had done, took their gear off. We're putting our gear on. And I got ready to go. And there was two Marines standing in the door trying to look where they were going. I got a hold of the handles of the door, got both feet, got both of them right in the butt, put them out the door. Last thing I saw was those two guys tumbling out through there. But I enjoyed my days with the military. And so we honored them last night. Thank God. Okay, let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for our country. We thank you for the people who need to make decisions about it. And Lord, right now, as you well know, we're in a lot of trouble. And as we studied in Sunday school, we got people that are delusional, that are trying to run our government and ruin the thing that founding fathers laid out and men fought and died for in major wars. Help us, Lord, to do all we can to protect that. And help us to understand we can go vote. Before we get into the sermon I have that's up on the note the board for you, I want to share a couple of verses with you. Wood kind of stole some of my thunder, but that's all right. I was a little delusional, Wood. When you go, there's voting information back there on the stand if you still don't know how to vote. When you go to that booth, only one thing you need to know about abortion. Listen to this verse. Write it down, jog it down. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God's talking to young Jeremiah. He says, before I formed thee. Who's talking? God. God did the forming. And these people say, well, I believe in abortion with some exceptions. No exceptions. No exceptions. What about the life of the mother? You mean you're going to take an innocent baby over the life of a mother? Is there a mother that would want to give up her child? Same difference, right? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. That was a person to God. It wasn't a mass. It wasn't something that man created. It wasn't part of a woman's body. It was something that God placed in that woman's womb, right? And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You know the reason people don't think right? They don't get started right. Go to Romans chapter 12. People spend half their time listening to people talk on a street corner or somewhere else. They don't get in the Bible. They don't get in the church. They don't study. And Paul said to those people in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech thee, means I'm warning you, I'm telling you something serious, listen to me. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies. People say to me, well, I didn't go to church, but I was with you there in spirit. Come on. You was with your body laying in bed. That's where you were. I beseech you by the mercy of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Pastor, how do you expect too much? No, not near as much as God does. God says he wants your whole body. He wants everything about you. Unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not asking you to do anything unreasonable. And you've got to pull away from this world and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. After all that electric line, you have a transformer that brings electricity in this building. God has the Holy Spirit. And when you get transformed, he takes that spirit and puts it into you, all that you will allow him to. When you're messing with the world, you're shutting off the transformer. You're not getting the Holy Spirit. By the renewing of your mind, you have a change of heart, change of mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So God formed us in the womb to do a certain thing, be a certain person, and when we're here, God hasn't changed his mind about that. If you're living the way you want to, not the way God wants you to, you're living apart from God. So vote against abortion. We want to talk about getting close to God. How do I know all these things? How do you get to get wisdom from God? Jesus commands that if we want to know what he wants for us, we've got to ask him. Read it to us. You got to seek. You got to knock. We'll talk about those. But you first got to ask. In Matthew 7:11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gift unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give you good things that ask him? We don't have a lot of things because we don't ask. I can't find my pen. Can't find my pocket knife. I can't find... You ask God? Oh, that's too little. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too small. If it bothers you, it bothers him. You're his child. I used to go through the house. My wife would say, what are you doing? Nothing. After about 10 trips, I said, I'm looking for my glasses. Sometimes she says, they're laying right there. Of course, she's got hers on. She can see. We ask him. Asking is praying and coming to God. Prayer is how we communicate our needs and desires to God. If you think not knowing where your glasses is not a problem, just lose them sometime. You can't see what you do see. What you do see, you don't know what it is. That don't look like my glasses. Oh, I put them on, they're my wife's glasses. John, who moved my glasses? Guess I did. So we ask God for the little things, the big things, all things. Seek the Lord with all your heart. We talked about that. Well, some things are not worth it. Yes, it is. Everything means something to God. God's moved by your hurts, by your desires, by your love, even by those that you dislike. As we studied last week, God gives you a love that you didn't know you were able to give. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Understand the language of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, but as it's written, you want to pay attention to this close. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. One lady said to me, she said, Pastor Hodges said you can't know those things. I didn't say it to her, but I wanted to say, dummy, read the next verse. But anytime you see the word but in a sentence, it means something else is going to be added to this. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. You know why most people don't know the things God has? Because they don't have his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. God is just waiting to give you the wisdom, the understanding that you need for your problems in life. But you need his Spirit. And the Spirit will tap you on the shoulder. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have went there. Listen to the Spirit of God. Well, I'm a tough guy. I can take it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're not tougher than God. And when God gets his hounds of heaven after you, and you surrender, you'll find out what you can take. God knows how to bring you to himself. Okay? So we knock, we ask, we seek, and we knock. I have a section there, 11 to 16, about the spiritual man and a worldly man. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man? We got the spirit of the world, he says in verse 12. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost. Everybody's got a spirit, but you got to have God's spirit overriding that and talking to you. For who, verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? You got to have God's spirit. That's his transformer, putting the spirit into your heart. God's the one that wants to talk to you. You will find him when you seek with him with all your heart. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. His heart's desire is for us to persistently and passionately look for him. Look for him. The Bible says all things work together for good. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Hodge. Does it really mean that everything? Yes, it does. So in every situation, it took me a long time to grasp that thought. When something happens that you didn't plan, you didn't like, you don't want, say, now, where's God in this? Where's God? Not what my feelings are, what somebody else, but where's God? How does God feel about this? wisdom from God, His Spirit. Then number three, knock, we're supposed to ask, seek, then knock. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God's knocking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and he will sup with me and he with me. Seek. The man was praying. He said, Lord, I'm doing what you told me. I'm trying to be a preacher, but the church won't let me in. He said, don't worry, they won't let me in that church either. Some places you don't need to waste your time with. Listen to God. Too many preachers are mama called and papa sent. Don't know what they believe or whether they believe anything. Don't know if they're cut, bored, or punched. Yeah? Keep knocking until the door is open and the desire is met. A believer should pray in faith for God's provision and be persistent in prayer. I'm going to pray till something happens. I might have told you this story before down here in Kentucky when they were putting one of the interstates down across the state, going through one of those back counties where nobody knows it's up there until you go there. Old man sitting in a rocking chair, strike a match, light his pipe. He said, y'all going to put that highway right down through there? Yes, sir, we are. Y'all, what are y'all going to do about that house? We'll move it. You'll never move that house. I saw my dad build a... You'll never move that house. Every day, you never move that house. One day they got all the ground cleared, got the big truck there, boom, 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 backed it up there, boom, cranes putting that thing on there. They started moving it down. The old man said, you'll never get a stop. You'll never get a stop. That's the way we are. We're probably afraid something will happen. I'm stuck in the mud and I want to stay there. I don't want to change. I like myself the way I am. Instead of saying, Lord, what must I do? What must I do? He spake a parable, Luke 18:1. Unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means being in an attitude of prayer all the time. If you don't want to really know what it really means, get out on one of these interstates in a busy time when the tractor and trailers are moving. Got one front and one behind, one on each side. You're wondering, where am I going? Wherever these trucks take me, boom. You pray. And then when you're riding down through there and some idiot comes around you and slams on his brakes. And don't you like it when they say 1,500 feet ahead or half a mile ahead or something, road closed, boy, they start passing. Everybody thinks they're Dale Earnhardt. And then you got a motorcycle coming up on this side. You'll pray. Then let me tell you another time you'll pray. Listen to me. When your daughter comes home and says, Dad, I'm pregnant. Well, what are we going to do? Well, Dad, I'm thinking about abortion. You'll pray. But you don't believe in abortion. What am I going to do? You'll pray. What are you going to do when your son walks in with something looked like he got out of a garbage can, said, Dad, this is my new friend. We're gay lovers. Get your stuff out of the basement and get out of the house. Oh, you pray. You pray a lot. And if you don't pray, in some of those situations, you never would have been in them anyway. Here's your things. Here's my things. You lead. You pray. Don't tell God you want to learn how to pray if you don't want to learn how to pray, because God will get you in the classroom where you have to learn how to pray. To knock involves a physical movement. You're really doing something. You're not asking or seeking. You're now involved in the process. You know, I was thinking this morning, people don't realize how important what we do with the kids and how we do need to do more. Men were in the, I forget what they call those Hanoi prisons over there during the Vietnam War, who hadn't been in Sunday school and church most of their adult life. But they remembered. They started to send signals and typing out words, and they put a New Testament together and would pass it around. And they said it was a thing that helped them survive, the Word of God. They learned in vacation Bible school or some Sunday school class. Amazing, the power of the Word of God. Knock, and He'll open. Asking and seeking are great importance, and it would be incomplete without knocking. Knock. The Apostle John said Christians ought not to be in love in the world alone, but with actions also. In 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Knocking, asking, seeking. It's good to pray, seek God, but if one does not also act, put feet on your prayer. Somebody said, where God wants you to go, God will provide. God don't put the provisions on you and say, here's something for every day. I remember when I was serving in the military, we'd be on a patrol. Didn't have all those fancy gadgets today. Give you a spot on the map. Tomorrow at 1300, that's where your food and resupplies will be. They'll be there for 5 minutes. You're looking on the map at the rivers and things you've got to cross to get there. God says that'll be there. If you're not there, we'll take it and give you another destination. When your rough times come in life, God has an oasis in the storm. God has a spot. But you've got to be tuned to listen to Him. I'll tell you where it is. You know that old lady that you passed picking up pop bottles? How about taking a track and talking to her about the Lord? She may be your oasis in the storm. Jesus knows how to provide, how to give what you need when you need it. He don't want to bury you down with too much. The problem with most of us, we've got too much. We've got too many things. I can remember when we didn't have any vehicles. Then we had one. Cars used to go home on the road, stop. Somebody would come out of the house because they didn't have one. You picked up their supplies, you dropped it off. They'd get on the fender and sit on the fender. Talk. Drunken old man would say, come on, Maude, get off the fender. Let's go home. Let these people go home. I remember those. I remember giving the huckster man. You ever know what a huckster truck was? Run by, little store on wheels. We stop, go down, get some groceries. Oh, my. We didn't have much, but we had God. We had Mom and Dad. We had a house. I never came home, but my mother wasn't there. Here's your bread and jelly, Johnny boy. Oh, for those days. Get that on, get your clothes changed, get your old overalls on. You got to meet Dad down the creek. He's down there clearing off another piece of ground. Need you to help. Okay. We have too much. God gives you what you need when you need. Please God, not man. What people think of you is not going to matter 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now. But what God knows about you is going to be brought up at that time. When we ask and seek and knock, we will draw close to God. Every time you pray, God's teaching you how to hold on to His hand and to walk through your life with Him. Ask. Got too much pride to ask. I'd rather make 10 trips through the house looking for my glasses and ask. Yep. You have that problem? You have that problem? Got too much pride to ask, or whatever it is, or whatever else you're looking for. Honey, would you answer the telephone? I can't find it. I remember when it had a cord on them. But now, and they all look alike. You pick it up, and it's dead. I don't know what's wrong with the phone. Well, who left it later? I don't know. Wasn't me. Where's God in all this? Your prayer life's like that. When's the last time you really said, God, I'm going to shut the door, go in this room, and you and I are going to talk, and I'm not going to leave until you get down. Wow. We'll have revival. We'll have revival. God will get to us. God loves you. God wants to hear from you. God's been waiting to hear from you. I told you the story about the guy, two guys are talking, and one said to the other one, "Dude, Bill, do you think there'll be baseball in heaven?" And he said, "Oh, I'm sure they will. By the way, the Astros won last night in the World Series." He didn't know that. He said, "Well, I'll tell you what. If you go, you find out they got baseball, send me a message back." He said, "I will." Well, time went by, and later he died and went to heaven. Sure enough, next day, Bill, they got baseball up here. "Oh, my, they have? Yeah. I got some other news, too. You're pitching tomorrow." Maybe you. Maybe you, the next one. Think, I use this as an illustration. I'm not trying to embarrass my wife. But think of the people she's lost in life. Not the people you expect. Her younger sister. All of her three brother-in-laws. Linda lost a brother-in-law. I'm the oldest one left of the brother-in-laws. God don't just say you're signed here and you're, we don't know when God's going to call us. We don't know how long He's going to leave us. But we know one thing. He formed us in the womb. He gave us a purpose. And He wants us to fulfill that purpose. And when that purpose is done, honey, you are done. And there's no praying. There's nobody going to hold you back. When God says come home, you come home. And you go. No more. No more. Well, I was going to do this. I don't have my, I have my house I pay for, but I don't have my boat paid for. Well, where you're going, you don't need the boat anyway. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for loving us in spite of our problems, our inconsistencies, our failure to ask and pray and seek You with all of our heart. God, help us be with our children, be with our country as we vote. People right now, Lord, are talking about rejecting some of the greatest men that we have running. God, help us get out and vote. Help us to do what you want us to do. Forgive us where we fail. As the piano plays, the altar's open for you if you need to come. You got too much pride to ask, God, I don't have enough for you. What will the people think of me? What difference does it matter? Think about when you come before God and the whole universe sees. Sometimes your coming inspires someone else to come. Come pray for a son, a daughter, co-worker. Let's pray. Pray like everything depends on God. Work like everything depends on you. Okay, Heather. Fellowship and fellowship, right? Get them clothes filled out. Then throw those away and get some new ones. Look sharp. Okay? Think about the people in Afghanistan or Ukraine. What are they going to eat today? And if somebody brought something, they don't have a refrigerator to put it in. Think about how fortunate. Here we're saying, come help us get rid of these leftover I like them myself, but I haven't been able to eat them in a long, long time. Only thing good about my senses being taken away, can't smell, can't taste, all that kind of stuff. But when our dog got out and skunked the other night, I was thankful for it. Everybody said, "Ooh," I said, "I don't smell anything." Be careful what you ask for. God might give it to you. Okay. Bill, you lead us in prayer, please.